Oh, shoot. Love you guys.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, LKN. 7:06. Happy Friday to you. Justin Gazepas alongside Mamie and Phil.
Good morning.
What's happening, Mames?
Friday.
The eyes are open. Already getting the blue light to the face with the computer screen.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good day.
It's going to be a great day.
We have a couple of guests coming in today.
We do have some guests coming in today.
So Project Change Color Dash got introduced to this particular event from another WSIC host, Patty Alvarez. She hosts The Good Soul. It airs every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. You can also catch it on demand, WSIC News, wherever you get your podcasts, wherever you watch your videos, because also the videos are out there. She's bringing in some friends of hers who have a child with fibrous dysplasia. And this is a 5K color. I'm assuming it's like the color run.
Yes, that's what I'm guessing. It's like the color run where they throw the chalk colors
right in the face.
Yeah.
So we'll have them in at 7:30. The event is on April 13th at 9 a.m. at Pine Lake Prep in Mooresville. Projectchange.info is the website. I'm looking forward to that discussion. Always happy to bring awareness to many. And because people are actually going through this stuff too. And when it happens here locally or somebody you know, that's when like your whole perspective and your world shifts. Todd Starnes also joining the show
today.
8:30. Todd Starnes, we're gonna have him on the phone, checking with him. I did last time we talked to Todd. I asked him. I said, "If President Trump is the nominee, and then if he wins, will he go scorched earth?" That was like, because I think that's what's on everybody's mind,
yeah.
Right? Like from a political perspective. Okay, let's say he does win. Is he gonna be under control like at all? And that's not the right phraseology to use for someone like President Trump. But so we'll see. We'll get an update. What's been going on? Todd Starnes. We do carry the Todd Starnes Show Monday through Friday, noon to 3. Also have actually a pretty big announcement related to Todd Starnes. We'll talk about that. That'll be coming probably not next week, but the following.
Okay. Ooh, looking forward to that.
Maybe. Some will.
Maybe.
Politics isn't everybody's cup of tea, but there's a wide variety. It's your favorite.
It's my favorite topic.
Top two in Mamie's life, politics, pumping gas.
That's it. They're my favorite two things to do in life. That's
absolutely it. What you got in the cup today?
I think it's Coke, just regular
just
Coke.
Just regular Coke.
It's none of your business, partner.
That's actually
sorry,
true.
Guys.
No, I'm sorry.
Sorry, guys. Sorry to disappoint.
No cheer wine?
Well, I haven't finished my first drink of the day. So I had water. So I do.
Oh, good.
I am trying to hydrate before I caffeinate. That's
speaking
the
of
new,
good call, time to
that's
hydrate.
The new thing. Yeah. So I had a water at home this morning, and then I put Cherry Coke in there.
That's so. Okay. You know what you should couple it with? Let me ask you this question. Will these be a banger? That's what I want to know. I always love a good flavored Oreo. Don't know what it is. Oh, 7:09.
Yes.
Made
let's
it
do
to
it.
7:09 before we talked about food. So there's a new flavor of Oreo, and I don't even know what's new. I feel like they've done this one before. Maybe I'm wrong. Churro
Maybe it's just
flavored?
Oh, I'm here for it.
Churro
Did
flavored
you bring
cream?
Some? I would eat one right now.
You would? You'd actually
eat
on the radio today?
I would eat a churro Oreo. I love cinnamon. Like, I put cinnamon in my coffee. I don't know if you know that.
A little sprinkle of cinnamon?
I love cinnamon. It's like my favorite.
So churro flavored Oreos, would those be your favorite Oreos?
Yeah, because Dunkin' has a churro latte right now, and that's when I get Dunkin' on my way here. If I ever do that, I get the churro latte.
You know who else sells churros daily year round?
Who's that?
Taco Bell.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they got churros.
It's those
like Cinnasticks.
Those are not churros though.
It's like popcorn
dipped
in cinnamon. You
know who sells
an
actual churro? Who? Peach Cobbler Factory.
Ooh.
It's a real churro, and it is delicious.
How long? Aren't real churros like 2.5 feet long?
I don't know. But I don't know how long they're supposed to be. I don't know what the official churro
No, I need an
is.
Official measurement
I don't
of
know.
The churro.
I just eat them. I don't discriminate short,
so
long,
you've had
whatever.
You've had the churro from the Peach Cobbler Factory in downtown Corndale.
Yes, very good.
I've only had the peach cobbler, the banana pudding, a cookie. I have not had the churros yet.
The waffle.
Oh, yeah, the waffle. What doesn't she have over there? We got to see Melissa again.
I know.
Well, churros. My favorite flavor thus far of the Oreos, probably the birthday cake.
I've not had that one. See,
what?
Okay.
I thought that one was, I guess.
I love sweets.
Okay.
I love sweets, cookies, candies, especially baked goods. I don't buy them to keep at the house because they'll get eaten.
By you?
By me.
Okay.
Or Rob, who says he doesn't eat sweets. Mm. Hey, Rob, I love you. But he'll just roll through them one night, too. So I'll go to the pantry for lunch. Oh, I'm going to have a couple cookies. Nope. Rob ate the whole thing.
Pantry eater.
Yeah.
Kind of keep his head inside the pantry.
Play a video game after I go to bed.
Yeah.
So about 11 o'clock, he's like, yeah, sweets. That sounds like a good idea right now.
Here's a few cookies. Here's a few cookies more.
Yeah. Here's 40 cookies for me to eat right before I go to bed.
The pack's gone.
And of course, he wakes up looking like the Liver King.
He does look like Liver King.
It's not fair. Not fair at all. But yeah, I just don't buy. So like all the different flavors of Oreos and stuff, I love them. I just don't buy them because they'll get gone.
Is Oreos a good, like, overarching sweet treat that a lot of people can like?
So you
know what I mean? Like, so you don't have 15 different kinds of cookies when you have people.
Yeah, I did see a tweet the other day that said, double stuffed Oreos should be called regular Oreos because I like a double stuffed. And the regular Oreos should be like diet Oreos.
Switch the standards around? Is that what standard. It is?
So you feel better about eating a regular Oreo than a double stuffed.
Sorry, you said you saw something on Twitter. So I had made a tweet this morning. I forgot to hit send. So I just hit send on that.
Okay, good.
So that's there.
Glad I reminded you.
Yeah, GM_LKN. Yeah. It really was just a testament to a lot of cultural history. You should check it out because I know that Twitter for you is fairly new.
It is new.
You were following
I've rediscovered Twitter. What I use it for is for live, like watching shows live. Okay. So if
the video stream stuff that you see.
No, not that kind of stuff. Like when I'm watching a show live on TV and then I'll follow on Twitter with what people are saying to keep up with the conversation. Cause it's usually just me watching it by myself back when I was really into The Bachelor. But like most of the shows I watch now aren't appointment television. They're just streaming, and so I'm not watching them with everybody else.
So you're just watching like the comments of people related to things that are happening?
Correct.
Like, okay, people watching.
It's hanging out with people all together while you're watching a show.
And I've got no problem with that. And it happens fast on Twitter.
It does. But it's fun. And you're like, oh, did you see, or I'll think, oh, did you see what just happened? And I'll look and, all the conspiracy theories will pop up. The Bachelor, Dancing with the Stars. I don't watch The Bachelor anymore, though. I can't get into it. Dancing with the Stars might be the only one I still watch live. And then, of course, sports. But nobody's really. I don't care to live tweet with sports.
Who does? I mean, well, you're talking to the biggest sports buff. Speaking of, Merle Madness going on right now.
How's your bracket doing?
Oh, I forgot to even check on it this morning.
Did you finish it?
So I did finish it. Did you submit
your name on it?
I did put my name on it. ESPN.com. The group is WSIC. We did submit the brackets yesterday. It was funny because we were watching the first game. We turned it on here. It was like 12:15, 12:30. The first game came on. And didn't even look to see who won it. And then the Chapel Hill game was on. I didn't see the end of it.
Chapel Hill won.
I noticed that last night when we saw Senator Jeff Tart, and he was rocking the bow tie, the Carolina blue. And I said, did they actually win? And it was kind of a reminder. I assumed that
they won.
They did because he saw them. So I got to check on my bracket. I don't know. But the winner of the bracket gets 4 tickets to Merlefest.
That's right.
And we've got other opportunities for tickets to Merlefest. Some great lineups. We'll get a little taste of the lineup here. We've got Jeff with ICATS going to be coming up next, going to get a look at the traffic on the streets right now. So if you're about to head out to work or you're on the roads, we'll help you kind of figure out, see what's going on out there. Also got word of the day. Bill gives us word. We guess the definition. Unless we know the word.
Right.
Might know it.
Probably won't.
Statistical likelihood we do.
What's yesterday's word?
Good morning, okay, and 7:18. Happy Friday to you. Fridays, for whatever reason, it just gets all crazy by the point. If you aren't at home in your Snuggie by 2:30 on Friday, you might as well just pitch tent.
Yeah.
RideICATS.com, alternative transportation, $3 each day, each way to commute from Iredell County down to the city of Charlotte. You do it in the HOV lane and you cruise with Jeff. Jeff, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Justin and Manny. Traffic is heavy, but there's no accidents to report. 77 northbound and southbound from Statesville to Charlotte. There's pockets of heavy traffic, but it's flowing. Later on around the Huntersville area, the typical areas, you'll have your slowdowns. Secondary roads in Statesville, Mooresville, I haven't heard of any problems. So looks like a good start to the Friday.
And Jeff, start to the Friday also includes the review of your bracket. How did you do thus far?
Okay, well, I told you I did several of them. The one that I have Connecticut, that bracket didn't look good. But the one where I have North Carolina, the only one, games I missed on that was the BYU game and Kentucky. I can't believe Kentucky let us down.
Big upset.
I'm doing well on that bracket. We'll see how it goes today.
How many brackets do you have? You said you only have two, or do you have more than two?
I did three altogether. But like I say, the one that I've got the most points so far is 140, and so just missed two on that one. But today's a new day, and we'll see how it goes.
Absolutely, Jeff. And look, don't let anybody feel three isn't like an addiction or anything like that. So I think you're doing fine. I think three brackets is okay.
I have three, so that makes me feel.
Oh, Mamie's got three, so you're doing plenty fine.
All right, Mamie,
you're doing great.
I'm glad I'm not the only. I'm glad I'm not the only one that decided to do a couple over just one. So, anyways,
Jeff, we appreciate.
How are you doing on your bracket?
Okay, so I just pulled it up. So I'm ranked on ESPN 14,599,858. So that sounds pretty good. Good. Mm-hmm. I got 100 points. I don't know what that means in the scheme of things, but I got 100 points so far.
Okay, I'm ranked at 85,000, so.
Oh, excuse, that's my bad, Jeff. That's my fault. Okay, well, I'm copying your paper next test, okay?
All right.
Thanks, Jeff. We'll talk to you at 8:15.
Okay, have a great morning.
You too. RideiCats.com, alternative transportation, $3 each day, each way to commute from Iredell down to the city of Charlotte. I thought he said 140 points. Did Jeff say 140 points?
I think that's what he said. How many points do you have?
100. I don't know what that means.
I think
means.
You only got two wrong.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of red X's on my bracket right now.
Yeah, I could tell by the 100 point.
That you knew.
The ranking, yeah.
The ranking of 14,599,858 doesn't have.
I was feeling bad about my 7 mil, then you said that, and I was like,
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I got quite a few. I did get a couple right. I got the Duquesne.
You got that one right. BYU? Is that BYU?
Yeah,
That's the one I got wrong. That's the one I got wrong yesterday.
I got Duquesne. I did pick Illinois. I did not get... I picked Drake. I mean, have you seen
Drake?
Have you seen the video? Of course you're picking Drake every time. But I didn't win that one.
Wait a minute.
Iowa State. I had South Dakota upset in that one.
Oh, well, that was a mistake.
Yeah, well, clearly, because... I mean, but it's
you were warned.
Oh, sure, but Kentucky and Oakland, like, that's the one to lean into on, like, right. Yeah, this one's going to be the upset?
That was an upset, yeah. I did get that one wrong, too.
Yeah, Joe Berg, that was his favorite, Iowa State.
Yeah, but that was my signal that was to go the your other way. Yeah,
opposite. Like,
you remember last year's Cup Series.
He went off the trapezoid of excellence, I guess. Yeah.
Well, everybody's heard about the bird.
It's time for the word of the day. What's the word?
Word of the day.
Today's word of the day on this gloomy?
Is it?
Gloomy.
Gloomacious?
A little rainy today.
Gloomy, yet awesome. Friday, yes. March the 22nd?
Already.
Wow.
So close to April.
In the thick of it here. Today's word of the day presented by Merlefest. Merlefest, April 25th through the 28th. Be sure to be there. Find WSIC. We'll be there. We will have some representation up there enjoying the good old times. Justin, who we got?
So we got a couple in the lineup that I really wanted to showcase today. Nefesh Mountain and Them Cooley Boys. I think both of them Cooley Boys.
Hey,
that's
now.
A banger.
They know how to get them going. Nefesh Mountain, not a bad show.
A bad show at all. It's going to be great. Merlefest, we will see you there. Today's word of the day is burnish. Burnish.
Burnish.
Burnish.
That sounds pretty straightforward. It's a verb.
It's a verb. So it's what you do.
I burnish it.
Yeah.
Sounds like some kids, like teen slang.
Yeah.
Burnish.
No cat burnish.
Burnish.
Right.
No cat Bernie.
All right. Burnish. For those following along at home, as Justin mentioned, you are dealing with a verb here. B-U-R B-U-R-N-I-S-H. Hmm. Burnish.
Gonna need a sentence, if you would, please, sir.
All right, I can hook you up with one of those.
Is it related to furnish? Brother? To furnish?
Ooh, in...
Cousins?
Loosely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Second cousins.
Okay.
His mother asked him to burnish the silverware before setting the table. Burnish.
Polish?
Yes.
Polish? That's
yes.
what it means?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, I got it. Done.
Happy Friday!
Hit them things again, man.
Man.
To burnish.
Burnish to polish.
Polish.
To polish or shine.
Polish. Were you polishing or are you burnishing?
Yeah, I really think we could totally turn that into some kid slang in some way.
Yeah.
Get some Gen Z's on the phone.
Yeah, you're looking burnished.
Today I'm looking burnished. I was just thinking that. So I was like, no, you looking burnished today.
I think you just say, just burnish. It's just looking good. Looking slick, fly, burnish. Right.
All the parents looking to connect with your teen, tween, or child that you believe might be an alien right now, just look at them. You feeling burnish?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Burnish?
And then be like, what? You don't know that word?
Yeah. Yeah. Then that's how you flip it back on them.
Tell them to stop the cap. You know what I'm talking about.
Bet on it.
Bet.
No. No. It's just.
No.
Keep trying.
Just bet.
Shout out to Ashley, who sent me a message during the break.
Okay.
She remembered the word of the day yesterday.
What was it?
No. Do you remember it, though?
Man, you had, I really like tried to come up with it real quick. I want to say.
She not only remembered the word, but the definition.
Dang, y'all are smart.
I know, because she just messaged me the definition. I was like, huh?
I guess my real... Bill, do you remember the word?
No, he
without
does.
Looking,
he's got
without
it there.
Looking.
That's not fair.
I do.
What is it?
It starts with a D.
That's right. And it was a fun word to say.
Dictaphone.
No.
Wait a... What?
No.
That's a word. That's an instrument.
Now, that's a verb. That's a verb.
No, that's an instrument.
No.
Maybe to you. Yep.
Didactic.
Yep.
Didactic. Yes. Right. I knew it was something.
But only because Ashley messaged it to me. So thank you, Ashley. Ashley and Chaz listening this morning. So thanks, guys.
Yes. Big shout out to them.
Oh, wait. It's Friday. We're normally back in the day, we would have a culmination of a thing.
Right.
It's gotten too
deep. We don't
deep.
Do that anymore.
It's gotten too deep at this
right.
point. Can't make it. Project Change Color Dash coming in at 7:30. Going to be joined by Patty Alvarez, another host here on WSIC. Her show airs.
And I believe Julia Thomas.
Julia Thomas. Okay.
Juliet Thomas.
Juliet Thomas.
Yes.
So we'll have them 7:30 to 8 talking about Project Change Color. And sorry, of course, I should have the sheet here in front of me before I start talking about it. But basically, it's going to be like a 5K color run, I believe, at Pine Lake Prep coming up in April.
It's a great cause and an inspiring story.
Yeah.
And Juliet is actually Patty's guest for this week's episode.
Oh, is she?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
So
that's awesome.
But we kind of touched the surface on here today. Deeper dive with the good soul.
Perfect. So, yes, Saturday, April 13th, 9 a.m., supporting children and families with fibrose dysplasia at Pine Lake Prep. The check-in will start at 8 a.m. Pine Lake Prep's located in Mooresville. Project Change Color Dash 5K. So we're looking forward to that conversation. 8:30, we've got Todd Starnes, who is going to be on the phone joining us. I don't know if you listen to Todd, national political correspondent. He used to be on Fox. Now he's with Newsmax and Independent. He owns actually a station in Memphis,
mm-hmm.
And he does a national show, and he's syndicated here on WSIC Monday through Friday, noon to 3. We'll have him at 8:30 as well. We're going to look at traffic at 8:15, of course, with Jeff and figure those things out. General nonsense, though, just for the weekend. What's up?
Oh, just asking me?
Yeah, sure. What's up for you?
What are we doing this weekend?
Yeah, you guys got... Do you usually have like a plan? But we talked about
we
this is kind of
do.
That in-between week.
It is. I just don't... We don't really have anything going on. Probably going to do some taxes. Real fun
stuff.
That's
feeling like it's...
That's what's going to happen today. Yeah, I don't really have any plans. Probably going to see my godson at some point, Zion. He's almost 2 now.
2 years old.
He's speaking in full sentences.
That's gotta be. Is that weird for you?
It's just fun. It's just fun to like go through all those stages again. Also, when I can just not have to, you know, do the parent part. I can just be the fun Aunt
Mamie. Pop in on those stages.
Pop in, have a good time. So,
you should have him do your taxes.
Okay.
Just see what happens, you know? Let's see.
I mean, I think it's same as if I did my own taxes. It would probably turn out the same way.
Shouldn't they make it so easy a 2-year-old can do it? Isn't that the whole...
They should.
Isn't that the whole point?
Yes. That's my other thing. When I run for president, you don't have to do your... Like, the government knows how much money you owe them. The other thing I thought, because you know I love politics. But
related
I thought,
to you running president, this was the other thing you.
No, just okay. taxes in general. Just okay. random thoughts going through my head.
Which is 50% of what you're running on anyway.
As I'm taxes. Sitting on, yeah, as I'm sitting on 77, just, you know, what I generally have to pay at the end of the year, which is fine. You know, you just do what you got to do. And I was like, what are they doing with my little bit of money that I send them? It's not a lot. Is it helping? It's like making the minimum payment.
You're moving the needle.
You think so?
You're moving the needle.
$1 trillion debt.
Well, that's a spending problem, but you're helping them spend more.
Oh, okay.
You're helping them just keep that piggy bank flowing.
My little bit of money I send them at the end of the year, that's helping. Yeah.
See, I thought you were about to add a third leg to your campaign right now.
No, I still just have two. No more taxes. Or not no more taxes. You don't have to do your own taxes. They'll figure it out. They'll let you know if you want to dispute it. Like, you know, with your property tax or something. Ah, my house isn't really worth that much. Let me tell you why. Or your car tax.
Oh, you're just going to let it be free wallet and everyone's going to be arguing what their taxes should be?
No, most of the time you get your car tax, you just pay it. You know, they tell you what. They don't make you figure out how much it is to pay the taxes on your car every year.
All right, taxes and daylight saving time.
That's it.
Those are the two.
Name me 2024.
Good morning, OK, and 7:34 this morning. Happy Friday to you. Project Change Color Dash 5K happening Saturday, April 13th at 9 a.m. Supporting children and families with fibrous dysplasia. It's happening at Pine Lake Prep. Check-in starts at 8 a.m. It's going to be in Mooresville. Patty Alvarez and Juliet Thomas join us right now. Patty? How are you? Good morning.
I'm awesome. How are you?
Patty Alvarez, the host of The Good
right.
Soul,
yeah.
Which airs every Saturday, 9 a.m. here on WSIC. Also a digital experience with the podcast, with video streaming. How's everything going?
Really good. We're having a great time with the show. You guys are a pleasure to work with. And I think we have Oprah, Joe Rogan type vibes in our future.
There we go.
There we go.
I'm working on it.
Your guest for this week's show joins us in studio
yes.
right now,
yes, yes.
Miss Juliet Thomas. Miss Juliet, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for coming. And so is it fair to say you're part of the inspiration for why this event is happening? Or talk to us about this event and how it relates to you.
Sure. Well, Project Change is a nonprofit organization. It is a bona fide 501(c), and our website is www.projectchange.info. And Project Change was inspired through the diagnosis of our child, Cash Thomas. At the time in 2021, Cash was 9 years old, and he had a front tooth that was not erupting. And half of his teeth from the right side over on the midline of his face were erupting normally. And on the left side of his face, they were not coming through. So for a long time, you know, my husband and I thought, when are these teeth going to come through? This is kind of getting strange. And then his face started kind of taking a different shape on the left side. So we took him to an oral surgeon who did a scan. And the oral surgeon was speechless with what he saw in the CT scan. And long story short, he was diagnosed with fibrous dysplasia. And fibrous dysplasia is a very rare bone disease that impacts people differently. It is basically like a scar-like tissue. Fibrous dysplasia is a genetic mutation that happens at 4 to 6 weeks gestation. And they have no idea why it occurs. It's just a random act. And I do want to say that Cash intellectually is wonderful, fine, high IQ, very deep thinker, interesting type of person and child. And he's 11 now. But how fibrous dysplasia affects him is it causes facial changes for him. So in addition to that, because of the complexity and the multiple bones that are involved, it can cause potential blindness and loss of hearing on the left side of his face, as well as some issues with his teeth that are continued. For example, he had to have a surgery where his front tooth was pulled down with a chain. Project Change was created because when you're diagnosed with a rare disease, you know, I had always thought that, and this is nothing against the medical community, but there was a very specific outline or medication or plan. Like if you get sick, you get antibiotics and all of a sudden you're cured. Well, when you have a rare disease that no one really knows how to address, it's just you're kind of left feeling very alone without a support system and on an island. So our family, along with the Lake Norman community, created the nonprofit Project Change so that we could have a sense of community and bring people together, which is what we're doing. It's been a very interesting journey because, like I mentioned, with not knowing how to address a rare disease, our family has had to fly all over the United States to get opinions of how to seek care. But the charity, I do want to go back to that. Our event, our annual event, is Saturday, April 13th at 9 a.m. at Pine Lake Prep. Check-in is at 8, and you can register online. And during this event, we fly in children and adults across the United States that have this disease to meet each other. Mm-hmm. So, for example, last year, we had people that were 50 years old that had never met another person that had the same disease as them. And another reason why we started this organization is I wanted the community to be very aware of fibrous dysplasia, and I wanted to show my son, hey, I'm not ashamed of you, and you should not be ashamed. This is a disease and a diagnosis that you can't control. You can't cover it up. You can't put on a T-shirt, but here as a community, we love you, we're proud of you, and we accept you, and more importantly, we want to make sure that you understand that your character and how you treat people is truly what defines you. So it's been an interesting journey, that's for sure.
That's so, I just love that. I love when you have something that you're going through and you don't feel like anybody else can relate to you, the fact that you guys bring people from all over the country so they can just have that camaraderie and say, like, this is what I've gone through. I understand it and I understand you. That makes such a difference.
It does. It does. And, you know, I asked Cash, I asked him, I said, you know, what does it mean to you to meet people that have this disease like you? And he said, well, Mommy, it means I'm not alone, mm-hmm. you know? And he has friends, you know, boys that are friends that he texts with that have this disease. And it's meeting these people last year and having them again this year in Mooresville was the most magical moment of my lifetime to be able to bring the community together.
I think, too, as a caregiver, for you to be able to talk to other people who are caring for people who are dealing with the same thing is probably pretty impactful for you as well.
It is. And, you know, fibrous dysplasia is a little bit of a relentless disease as children grow. And as they reach adulthood, it kind of comes to a pause, hopefully, in most cases. But because there is no cure, the only option is really surgery and multiple surgeries. There is some medication, but it stops bone turnover and bone growth, and that's not really ideal in a growing child, is to stop bone growth. So we have children and adults that come to our event that have had multiple craniotomies, mm-hmm. that, you know, have vision loss, that have bone breaks and experience situations all the time. I know that this week I was just reaching out to another mother and I said, you know, hey, how are you? And she said, well, I'm at the emergency room again. You know, so it's kind of an interesting situation that affects people very much differently. Mm-hmm. So
we're speaking with Juliet Thomas, projectchange.info, projectchange.info if you want more information. The Project Change Color Dash 5K coming to Pine Lake Prep Saturday, April 13th at 9 a.m., supporting children and families with fibrous dysplasia. Juliet, I can only imagine as a parent, right? Like, so I've got two young kids and there's just things in life that you don't choose, you know? And then so for a child to have to go through the process, but also from your perspective as a mom, can you talk about like some of the moments over the past couple of years? Let's go with the uncomfortable part of like just real low, real tough. Things have been really hard. And that moment where you were brought back up to continue trying to help fight the fight.
Yeah. Well, so what's been really interesting is watching Cash be so stoic and non-emotional in regards to the entire topic. For our family, my husband and I, and a lot of our friends and family, he's been very much an inspiration of how we should be behaving and how we should handle these things. I mean, he says things that are interesting that we don't plant the seeds of, you know, like, I have one life to live and I'm going to make the most of it. We have a video where we were playing chess with him one night and he started this whole talk about how he was going to make something that was, you know, bad into a good thing. And just a very optimistic child. Cash, the lows, I would say, is the feelings of isolation and not understanding how to help your child, and also acceptance of, okay, this is our situation. Mm-hmm. It's not the situation that we had before, and now we have a new life. And I think time, and then also, like I said, seeing my own child behave in the right way has been the inspiration by, like, this is how we're going to deal with this, and this is going to how we're going to carry on. And I'll say, too, you know, the community really rallied behind my family. We have people like Patty at Good Soul Yoga who helped start the nonprofit. We have several members of the community who have stepped in and are participating on the board at, you know, these are not paid people that spend hours dedicated to helping our family and people that they've never met. So having the community rally around us has been really incredible and inspiring and leaves us, you know, wanting to do more. So one of the things that Project Change has recently started twofold is we do a gift basket program to children who have surgery across the world. We sent a little girl in England a gift, and she had a very severe case of fibrous dysplasia. And then another thing that the nonprofit is doing is we are providing medical scholarships to people across the United States as well. So we're getting ready to launch that. Mm.
projectchange.info, Project Change Color Dash 5K, Saturday, April 13th, 9 a.m. Check-in starts at 8 a.m. Pine Lake Prep is where the 5K... Is it the Color Dash where they're going to have, like, color, yeah, like the... You're not going to, like, throw it in people's faces or anything
we
like that,
we're
right?
The orange table. Good Soul is the orange table. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're going to slime people if they want to... If they don't want to be slimed, they can kind of move to the side. We'll probably still try to get them anyway, but, you know, if they get close to us. I think it's going to be a fun day. We'll do... We're going to have a live DJ. We'll do the Color Dash. We will also have food trucks and face painting, magicians. So it's going to be a really fun day. But what's kind of really become amazing is that we are now the world's largest gathering for a support system for fibrous dysplasia.
Projectchange.info. Coming back, fam. Good morning again. 7:48. Project Change Color Dash, projectchange.info. Saturday, April 13th, 9 a.m. at Pine Lake Prep, supporting children and families with fibrous dysplasia. Juliet, thank you again for coming and sharing the story of your son Cash, of your family. Can we talk about the nonprofit for a little bit and kind of what's been going on in that realm? That's another layer, right? Like, you've got the personal side of at home. Okay, we've got a life situation we're dealing with and the life we're going to live. But now you're going outward. And so what was the moment where, can you recall where it's like, wait a second, I need to also talk about this with other people. Mm-hmm. It's not just in our family. This is something that everyone should be aware of.
Well, when we began Project Change, you know, we had mentioned the feelings of being alone and isolated and not having a sense of community. And Project Change really created that for us, specifically as it relates to getting to know families that have fibrous dysplasia and meeting other people. I will say that, you know, I never really anticipated the organization to take off in the way that it did. And one of the things that we began doing was educating the community to make people aware so that they could be empathetic and they could understand the situation. But behind that was a deeper message of embracing others, you know, promoting love, acceptance for all, regardless of disease or any other uncontrolled influence. Because what I'm finding as I go along this journey is that everybody suffers from something. You know, a lot of people are either quiet about it or they're capable of not talking about it or not seeing it. But for this situation, and specifically my own son, Cash, you know, he cannot get away from covering up his disease in any regards. As it relates to the community, I've been very inspired by our Lake Norman community and the way that they've really rallied around our family, people like Patty, people like Dr. Tom Carnaggio at Piedmont Dental. We have an incredible story, speaking of medical scholarships, where Dr. Carnaggio met one of our patients last year at an event this is actually a really incredible story. We were out to eat, and we do a Friday night meet and greet for the families. The Saturday is where the public, you know, please join us for our fun run, and we're going to talk about that again. And then Saturday night, we host a private event at our home for the fibrous dysplasia families. Well, last year, Friday at dinner, we met a 50-year-old woman who did not touch her food and sat there and was so happy to meet other people like her. And I said, you know, are you okay? You know, why are you not eating your food? What's happening? And she stood up and said, can I talk to you in private? And I said, sure. And she said, I've lost all my teeth due to fibrous dysplasia, and I'm unable to eat with the group, and it's embarrassing for me to take out my dentures and try to eat in front of other people, so I'd just like to take my food home. And Dr. Carnaggio heard the story at Piedmont Dental and said, please bring her to my office. Our organization at Piedmont Dental is going to donate to her, and we're going to provide dental implants, and we're going to take care of her. So there's things that people do that are just so unexpected that you're just in a little bit of disbelief that there's this ripple effect for how you create a sense of community, but also this instance of doing positive acts creates more positive acts mm-hmm. in our community. So, you know, those are just some of the things that the organization is doing.
And so for those that don't know, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't know about this disease prior to Patty bringing it to my attention. And we all learn about things from somewhere. And so fibrous dysplasia, it's a bone disease. Help me simplify it for me.
Well, the simplification is it's a rare bone disease that impacts people differently. For our child, Cash, he has it on the left side of his face and multiple bones. For other people, they may have it also in their face or both sides of their face, or also in their long bones, their legs. It can cause brittle bones, breaks, deformities, and chronic pain. So.
And there's no cure for anything like no. It's a lifelong journey.
It's a lifelong journey. And because of the way it impacts people differently, you know, how you approach it is so individualized. It's been an interesting situation. And for our family, when Cash was diagnosed with fibrous dysplasia, we got the diagnosis and we wanted to hear the best in the United States, their opinions of how we should approach this and if there was any option to care for him. So to kind of give you an idea of what it's like and how rare it is, what I did as a parent is I got on Facebook, which you don't want to be in a situation mm-hmm. where you're looking to Facebook for medical answers, and I created an Excel sheet of the people who had had surgery or had been seen, where they were seen, what was the outcome, what percentage were happy, did they require another surgery, and down so on that list. And for our family, we took Cash and we flew him to Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, to Boston Children's, to Dallas, Texas, to Michigan, Vanderbilt, and Duke. And different people had different opinions of who was the expert on the disease and how to manage it and care for it. So I'm only sharing this with you because it is so difficult once you have a rare diagnosis to understand what choice am I making and how do I best position my family to get the help that they need? So
it's one of those just topics that like you lose the words to say that right. It's just leaning into it together and as a community. So some of the high points, let's talk about some of the high points. I can only imagine there's moments where you've talked about Cash and even his positive attitude. And like for a child who is the one really dealing with the situation to remain positive. Can you talk about some of those moments?
You know, Cash has been just incredibly positive throughout the entire journey. In fact, there's really not a lot that bothers him. Or, you know, I was sharing with Patty, we'd done a podcast earlier this week that, you know, other than, you know, he cried when he didn't know what he had and we were trying to figure out the diagnosis. And then after that, he never cried again. He did have a major surgery July 2023 in Dallas, Texas, where they removed as much of the fibrous dysplasia as they could. And the only time I saw him shed, it was literally one or two tears, was when he saw a mirror and said, you know, hey, this was a successful surgery. Mm-hmm. So he's been a very inspirational character to just handle this with such grace. You know, I'm not sure if I've handled, you know, this situation and adapting and trying to help him with as much grace as a 9, 10, and 11-year-old has. But it's been remarkable, really and truly.
You clearly are a strong woman.
Yes.
I mean, the fierce lionessness that God has put in your heart and your soul, I can only imagine.
Amazing.
Because I have a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old son, and there's moments in the world, like, you know your kid, right? And to put them into this just nasty world, right, for the most, let's be honest, right? Like, the world is not a fun place for the most part. But when people that have a good sense about them come together and support, it's really amazing. And the look in a child's eyes. Project Change Color Dash 5K. It's happening at Pine Lake Prep Saturday, April 13th, 9 a.m. Bill's going to have the QR code up here for our social fam whenever we transition to commercial here at the top of the hour. If you want to find out more information, projectchange.info. Juliet, what's Cash up to right now? How's he feeling? Is it a day-by-day kind of scenario, or is it we're kind of at a point of longer term kind of,
Well,
but you know what I mean.
It's challenging because the reality of it is he has multiple bones impacted, and they grow erratically and they grow slowly. And having bones expand in your face in areas where there should not be expansion is hard to manage, right? So it is it's almost more like an annual thing, and he does require a lot of checkups and care. Like, we go to neurology and the orthodontist often, and CT scans and situations like that. But it is, I would say it's an annual thing of how he evolves, and we just kind of watch and wait and see what happens. You know, the reality of it is he just had this major surgery in 2023, and we as parents have to accept some things that are going to change potentially and just let him live. And he deserves to live and have a happy life. And one of the ways that we know we're helping support him is by using Project Change to help educate the community and bring each other together. So
you mentioned that for the event, you guys fly in people from all around the country with fibrodysplasia, and it's not an age-specific thing either.
Right. This year we have people coming from Colorado and Minnesota and Georgia, Chicago, Illinois, Virginia. So people truly come from all over to spend time with other families that have been dealing with this diagnosis and this disease.
And then you mentioned the medical care side, right? Because that's a factor. Do you guys have to travel a lot for the appointments? Like, you mentioned Austin. Was it Austin, Texas? Is that where?
Dallas, Texas. So we currently, Cash has a medical team. He has a cranial facial physician that we think is the world's best, Dr. Farron, in Dallas, Texas, in Medical City. And then he also sees Dr. Bradley Miller for endocrinology in Minnesota. So.
And so you guys spend time traveling for those,
yes.
I would imagine. Is that all part of the family routine now at this point, or
it's you know, it's just something that we have to do, and it's something that as parents we are willing to do to make sure that he has the best level of care that we can get him that's possible. So
and then how about for you as we wrap up here, is there any kind of goal setting that you guys do, like, as a I don't know what the next step is, right? Is it just, hey, we're going to live life, we're going to love, and we're going to have a great time? Or,
well,
or
I will say this, you know, my personal perspective as a human being has totally changed, right? We live in a society where you look on Instagram and you're comparing yourself to people like the Kardashians, mm-hmm. and things like that. So, you know, before, whatever my mindset was before has completely, in some ways, changed about what's important. You know, I'm looking for people personally that I surround myself with that I have perseverance and great character and integrity. I'm not into, you know, what they have or don't have. It's, you know, how do they really behave, right? That's changed for me as an individual.
Mm-hmm. Projectchange.info, the Project Change Color Dash 5K, Saturday, April 13th, 9 a.m., happening at Pine Lake Prep. Projectchange.info. Thank you, Juliet.
Thank you so much for having
Patty.
Me.
Thank you.
Both. Thanks, Cash. Good morning, OKN. 8:06. Happy Friday to you. If you're just hopping in the car, heading on into work, or about to head out the door, Jeff with ICATS is going to give us a call at 8:15. RideICATS.com. Alternative transportation. Thank you again to Juliet Thomas and Patty Alvarez for coming in, talking about Project Change Color Dash 5K, happening Saturday, April 13th at 9 a.m. at Pine Lake Prep. ProjectChange.info, supporting children and families with fibrosis dysplasia. What a conversation.
Amazing.
What a,
yes. Just an inspiration. Like, that was so inspirational to me as a mother. That's what I told her right before she left. I was like, I would set myself on fire to keep my kid from going through anything
sure.
remotely painful. So what she's done with a challenge that's faced her, sorry, I'm going to get emotional, is just so amazing and inspiring to me.
And she was so poised, you know, like for her to maintain her poise during that conversation.
Yeah, because
like,
I was getting emotional.
That's what I'm saying. Like for anybody to like be okay to not be poised, her, but like she was poised.
Right.
And then
right.
for her talking about Cash, her son, who's got fibrosis dysplasia. We will cut that clip. We will have that posted to today. You'll get an opportunity to go watch. ProjectChange.info is, again, the website, the 5K Color Dash coming
definitely
up.
Definitely check out The Good Soul as well.
Because right. Juliet the is the guest this week. The
yeah,
Good
so
Soul.
She's going to yeah. dive a little bit deeper in there. And like you guys said, yeah. just strength all around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So strong.
Yeah.
So in The Good Soul, it's a unique experience. So it's heavy on the podcast form, but we do air the episodes on the radio Saturday mornings, 9 o'clock, The Good Soul airs. The digital comes out Fridays though. So you can get a exclusive look if you subscribe to the podcast, and you can do that. If you search WSIC on any of the places you get your podcasts, Patty's show, The Good Soul, will come up there and you can subscribe. And you should do that because Patty is a great host. We didn't even get to talk to Patty very that much.
I know.
We'll have Patty back and talk to her about her show. Maybe Manny, her husband, will join and hear that day. He gets pretty wild. So
Shout out, Manny.
All right. So traveling's about to start picking up, right?
Yeah.
We're getting to that springtime. Spring break is here. Miami already had spring break, I guess, right? They learned a lesson or two. Are there any places, though, that are just like, okay, it's a tourist destination, but a little bit underwhelming?
Yeah, maybe overrated.
Overrated and underwhelming.
Yes.
What do you think? Should we go based just purely off of this list first and let's see if we...
I found an article on BuzzFeed, so take it for what it's worth, you know. BuzzFeed.
I was going to make a poot noise, but I didn't.
Thank you. but yeah, they did a list of... And the thing I do like about BuzzFeed is they like... what's the right word for it? Sorry, my brain's gone. Interview's not the right word. Poll. They poll their readers.
Pollsters.
They did a poll and they said, what is the most overrated or the biggest letdown from somewhere that you traveled? So number one was Dubai.
You're going just straight number one.
I'm just going number one, Dubai. Okay. Never been. But the sentiment is that it's like Vegas with no soul. They thought Vegas had no soul and they went to Dubai. I've also not been to Vegas, but I've had enough people that I know go to Vegas and tell me like they know me pretty well. They're like, you would not like it.
So been to Vegas once, wanted to really go because of like, it's Vegas, like the nostalgia of Vegas
just
in America,
it,
what it is, see it, experience it once. Dubai, what draws me into the appeal of going, is the architecture and what they're doing from like a building of a city perspective. So kind of
they
more
build
like,
super tall.
That's what I mean. Like they're
tall.
Not afraid.
Is that where the tallest building in the world is now?
Yes.
Right now, Dubai?
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
Overtook Chicago.
Yeah.
The Sears Tower.
I believe it's called the Willis Tower now.
Formerly known as the Sears Tower.
Okay.
Yes.
So for Dubai, that like I'd be interested in the architecture. The thing for me, and this is another reason why I typically choose mountain over beach, I'm not a sand guy, and it's like the desert,
it's
right?
The desert.
Dubai,
it's just
so
all sand.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
that's.
I
the
don't
problem
think they have
me.
Anything else.
But I've never
sand.
Been to Dubai. Have a friend who's been to Dubai.
Okay.
Did Pac say anything about Dubai, like in a positive, negative sense? He, I think he had a great time when he went, right?
Yeah, I think he enjoyed it.
Yeah, he's on that nuclear level, though, so that's like a different thing.
Right, he was having different conversations.
Yeah, he was in rooms that there's no way they're putting me inside. All right, what's next?
Well, number two and three, and I've just because I've not been to L.A. or Hollywood, but Katie just got back from Los Angeles, and she said, overrated, would not want to go back.
Hollywood?
Yeah, both of them. Well, she didn't go to Hollywood, but she was in L.A., Hollywood adjacent.
Sure.
She's like, no, I would go if somebody was like, yeah, I've never been. I want to go. She was telling me like, if you ever want to go, I'd go with you. She's like, but just to go, no, don't
you know,
care.
People from California and are familiar with Hollywood, what they call Hollywood.
What do they call it?
Hollyweird.
Mm.
Because it is. Last time I went with my dad. So I was
born in California,
in LA. Parents moved here in 94 after the earthquake, in Northridge. And so I've been here ever since, but went back with my dad to California, had family there. My aunt who's now, recovering California and now here in North Carolina. Interesting place.
Yeah.
It's different vibes, different kind of people, but California in general's got some things that they're working on. But that leads us to number three.
Well, number three is L.A. and Hollywood. So two and three are Hollywood and L.A.
Adjacent to each other. Two of the most overrated places to travel to.
I have heard from other people, too, that, like, don't go to L.A. for vacation. Like,
is that, like, recently because of, like, sanctuary city status and, like, heroin?
That's part of it. Katie was saying the homeless situation was just out of control.
So she had eyes on it, and she did say that it's a real thing.
She said, like, almost felt like you had to step over people sometimes in the mornings, like walking down the sidewalk.
Excuse me, can you move your crack for me for a second?
it's just really sad too. But number four was Niagara Falls, which we've talked about, that I've been twice and I fully agree.
You thought it was overrated?
The falls themselves.
Sure.
Great. Like if you can just go there for a day trip, go.
Okay.
But if you have to drive 24 hours.
Okay. So here's there's your problem. You drove 24 hours to get to Niagara Falls.
Dad made us.
That's the problem. So Demi and I, we went for one anniversary to Niagara. We flew to Buffalo.
Okay.
And then drove over the border because I didn't want to fly international. Even though it's Canada, it's still international. I was like, well, we can just drive.
Yeah.
I loved the trip. I love the cheesiness of it. Like we stayed in the hotel that's like the singular, it's only got like so many rooms at the top. It looks like, I don't know, like whatever in Seattle that has like the pencil or whatever it's called.
Yeah, the needle.
Mm-hmm. So that's what it looks like. But the falls are just beautiful.
They are beautiful. And
just
it's
beautiful.
Amazing that's totally natural. Like that, I think that's what was the most, like,
sure.
This is just nature. I've never seen the Grand Canyon, but I feel like I would have the same awe. But by the time we get there and I'm looking at the falls, I'm like, I'm like Clark Griswold when he sees the Grand Canyon. I'm like, okay.
That's it? Now 24 hours home.
Let's go.
That's it. Wait, can we at least stop and get some of that poutine?
No, we didn't even know.
You didn't get the poutine?
My mother doesn't eat international food. What are you talking about? Where's the closest Burger King?
The Canadian Burger King? Yeah. That's where you go. There was somebody from Canada. Who was it we asked that was from Canada? I asked him if his favorite thing was plum sauce. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Didn't we have somebody from Canada and ask him about plum sauce?
He'd never had it.
Snack barge.
Snack barge. Yeah.
Because not a fan, I think is what he said.
There was one of my friends in study group back at law school. She was from Canada, and she always talked about plum sauce. Like, it was a real thing. And I had plum sauce when I went there. But, okay, all right. I don't think that one's too overrated. The next one I can't even say.
Iceland. The capital city of Iceland. Reykjavik?
Give it a shot.
Reykjavik? I don't know.
I haven't been to Iceland. It sounds pretty cool, though.
That sounds cold.
There's a couple more on this list. Maybe we'll see if we can get to some more of these. Most overrated. Is Cherry Grove in that list or no? Most overrated?
Didn't make it.
Cherry Grove is
not overrated as advertised. As advertised,
So if you're looking for a spring break destination, Hollyweird, LA, Dubai, probably not on your list.
No.
But maybe they are. Maybe we're wrong.
Iceland
would be on my list.
Call us.
I would do one of those. You know, like they always have the picture of like you're in the yurt over the frozen ocean with the green, what's the green colors in the sky? I don't know. You know what I'm talking about.
Northern Lights.
I think you got to go to Finland or Sweden for that.
I definitely better have some poutine with it. Good morning. Okay, and 8:18. Happy Friday to you. It's Friday, so that means iCats is going to Hickory today. Ooh. RideiCats.com, alternative transportation, $3 each day, each way to commute from Iredell County to the city of Charlotte. You cruise in the HOV lane. Jeff, what are the streets looking like now?
Good morning. The streets don't look too bad right now. There's no accidents to report. 77 southbound from Statesville down to Charlotte. Surprisingly, you can get through Huntersville without slowdown. And same with going into Charlotte. It looks like traffic's a little lighter. Going 77 north, until you get to around exit 23, it slows down a little bit. Besides that, 77 looks pretty good today, which you usually can't say. And then the secondary roads in Statesville, Mooresville, I haven't heard of any issues, so looks like a good Friday.
Streets are looking good. Jeff, your bracket's looking good. Feeling like a good weekend. So we appreciate you, sir. Today's Friday. Y'all are going to Hickory. $1 to get picked up at your front door in Iredell County to go to Hickory. You got things to do. Do it with iCats, rideicats.com. Jeff, we appreciate you, sir. Drive safe out there. You know, you got to be home by 2:30 because it's Friday. Otherwise, you know, you're just going to have to pitch a tent and sleep somewhere because the traffic will be bad this afternoon.
I get home by, I get off at 12:30 since I start so early. But I would like to give a shout out to my daughter, Lindsay. It is her 32nd birthday today, and we're headed to Knightdale, the other side of Raleigh, to celebrate her birthday. But God has blessed us with a great daughter, and just wanted to wish her a happy birthday today.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Lindsay.
32nd birthday, Lindsay. Your dad's awesome, too, by the way. Jeff, yeah. We appreciate you, sir. Have a great weekend.
All right. Y'all have a great weekend, too.
Bye, Jeff. See ya.
Jeff, man among men. A man among men. That's what I was trying to say.
A man among men.
No. I get too excited.
Happy Friday.
I just love Jeff. He's one of my favorite people I've never met.
We were talking about places to travel that were overrated. We ended with Iceland. Cairo, Egypt is the next one. Wouldn't that be, like, is that really overrated? Like, you're going there for a particular purpose, right?
To see the pyramids.
Like, are they saying the pyramids are overrated?
Maybe it's the pyramids that are overrated.
Like, so officially, BuzzFeed says pyramids are overrated.
Don't do it. Don't do it, kids.
Did we ever figure out how they built them? Or isn't that still, like, shined in mystery?
I think it is a mystery. Rob's convinced it's aliens.
Really?
Yeah.
Nah.
I don't know.
Daytona Beach, Florida.
Oh, man, that place is...
overrated?
Yeah. Real overrated. You ever been?
I feel like I've been once.
Okay.
I do want to go to Daytona. I will make that. Let me be very clear. I do want to go to Daytona.
Okay. So my mom and dad spent their honeymoon in Daytona Beach. They got married in 1971. Long time ago.
He beat me to it.
Thank you. Mom always, Daytona was so nice, and it was just such a pretty beach, and da-da-da-da. I had never been. We went to Orlando 1 year for spring break, and I was like, we'll just do a halfway. We usually do Savannah for halfway, but we like, let's just do Daytona. Never been. Oh, man, never again. Scummy, trashy. It was also like spring break, you know. It was spring break.
How old was Katie?
This was like 3 years ago, so 15, 16.
Katie, this is what we don't do.
How we spring break.
Not our house.
No, this is not what spring break looks like for us.
Really, isn't any beach kind of like that at spring break,
maybe,
though?
Maybe that's what it is. It was just not it. I would never go back again. The hotel was just gross. There was just people partying in the hot tub all night long.
You should have went in the panhandle side. Isn't that the calmer side of Florida, like on the beach?
I don't know if
like
the panhandle, the Gulf side's a little bit calmer sometimes, but I think anywhere you go in Florida for spring break, it's going to be spring break.
Well, especially because Miami kicked everybody out.
That's
so
right.
Now the rest of Florida's like, whoa, Miami, what are you guys doing?
Where are you going for spring break if you don't go to Miami?
Naples, Italy.
Never been.
Never been either. Overrated, though? Hard to believe it being overrated.
Looking at this picture, I'd be okay with it.
Bill, have you been to Italy, Bill? I thought you'd been to Italy. Bill's on the phone.
There's two. Venice and Naples are both on here.
I hear great things about Naples. That's like a retirement destination.
Hear that the Vatican, my friend went to the Vatican over the summer, and she said never again. She's like, it was just, it's so small. It's so full of people, and they're all there for their like spiritual journey. And she was like, so everybody's trying to get their spiritual.
Their moment
at the Vatican. And she was like, nah.
Crown me Pope.
Yeah.
Is that what everyone's doing?
Her husband and dad were like, see you guys later. We're going to go over here.
So quick question, security guard. Do I get to hold the scepter or how does that process work?
Yeah.
A robe.
Everybody's just trying to get their little piece of a moment when they're there. So she was like, I would never go again.
Well, so Naples and then Venice, right? That's again, this back-to-back kind of like California of overrated places. And then number 10.
Vegas.
Is Vegas overrated or is it just overwhelming?
I think it's just, I don't think that people who go for the first time see it in the movies, right? And it's not like it is in the movies.
My knowledge of Las Vegas is like the movie Casino.
Right.
Like that's where I think everyone's, you know, gangster mafia, there's pit bosses against each other, there's an internal battle and beef going on.
Yeah.
That's what I think's happening in Vegas.
Yeah,
it's still happening.
Yeah, I'm sure it's still happening. But yeah, I think people are just maybe overwhelmed with the amount of stuff too, like the visual stimulation and things like that too.
It's a lot of lights, a lot of blue light. You think that they have blue light? You have non-blue light lights there going on their streets?
Is it not neon?
I think it's all neon.
Does neon have blue light?
Neon's got neon.
Neon is neon.
So it doesn't have blue light. We're not worried about blue light with neon.
Neon has neon is my answer.
It's fluorescent neon. It's not blue light. But you can make a blue neon.
You can. You can make a blue neon. You're neon right about blue. That.
Should I be concerned with my little alarm clock in my room that's got blue letters when it lights up at night? Is that blue light?
That's definitely, by definition, blue light.
It's a blue light.
How is that even legal still?
What's wrong with blue lights?
I thought blue lights wasn't good.
It's not good for you to stare at.
Bill, you rock blue light glasses during the day?
Occasionally, I do.
Mm. I don't. I have to wear reading glasses, so I can't put my blue light glasses on top. Do they make blue light readers? I should get some of those.
They probably do. This is the whole incandescent bulb thing. At some point, blue lights are going to be illegal, and I'm going to flip my wig whenever they finally announce it's illegal.
No more lights. No.
Everybody, sit in the dark.
Number 11, Austin, Texas is overwhelming.
Been there. Have you been?
I've never been to Texas. I hear everything's bigger
there,
though.
You've never been to Texas?
Never been to Texas.
Oh, it's a fun place.
I want to go there for the brisket alone.
Oh, it's good.
I hear it's the best barbecue in the country from some people I talk to.
San Antonio, favorite city in Texas. Completely worth it. If you have a chance to go, go.
There's some people in the core WSIC fam who think that Texas barbecue is better than North Carolina.
There's some people live in my house that feel that way too.
I'm just throwing that out there. Atlantic City, New Jersey.
I would never go.
You'd never go?
I would never go to Atlantic City.
Not even to just see it?
No. It just looks
What's wrong?
Dirty.
But you've been to Vegas. Like, is Atlantic City like worse than Vegas?
I've not been to Vegas. Yeah.
Oh, you've never been
no,
there? I don't find that shocking.
I don't care to go to Vegas either.
Is it because it's just known for gambling? Like, is that
I'm not a gambler. Like, sure. I went to... This is not a good comparison, but I've been to Harrah's, right?
It's a great comparison. What are you hating on Harrah's for?
Oh, no.
North Carolina staple Harrah's.
I had a great time. I doubled my money, and I was like, all right, let's go.
Little peyote, a little casino. You get a little bit of both, you know?
No, I had a good time, but I was at the $5 blackjack table, you know.
Who isn't?
Making
the
money.
The longest line in the room.
It was great. Took her out for his 40th birthday. I thought that was fun. We had a good time. But yeah, just to sit and like gamble all day. And, you know, I got to play all the games at Harrah's that you see on TV. And I'm like, all right, I got my Vegas fix. I'm good. I don't need to go. I can drive home. I don't have to get on a plane.
I'd want to at least go see Atlantic City. I'm not saying I don't bet either. I enjoy just walking around a casino more than doing anything.
Yeah.
Like I'll have like a stack of like one, you know, $1 chip, you know, chips in my hand,
yeah.
Like flicking them around. Yeah, which one's mine? Who's the low-hanging?
Like they're hundreds or something in your hand walking around.
Who's the low-hanging fruit in this room right now? All right, San Jose, California. Is anything in San Jose? Like, what happens in San Jose?
No idea. I don't know who would go
there
for
vacation.
Is the Rock
there? No, that's San Andreas. I don't know anything about San Jose.
I don't either.
I don't know much
about
San
Diego now. Have you been to San Diego?
I've not. Well, as a kid.
Legoland
in San Diego or San Jose?
San Diego.
San Diego has great beaches from what I hear. Like that's like the top, some of the top beaches in the
Beautiful
country.
Beautiful beaches. Great city. I love San Diego. I would go there for vacation every year. Great weather. Like the most perfect weather anywhere I've ever been in my life. Like 80s, you know, between 75 and 80, but no humidity ever.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Just hard for me. I want to support the people of California, but it's hard to support California right now.
I got it.
Dallas, Texas. Back to Texas. Overrated?
I like Dallas.
Dallas.
That's where Rob's
Isn't that
from?
A game? Isn't that a board game? Dallas. We're going to go.
I think it's a show.
Oh, and
a TV,
yeah,
possibly
show.
Board game as well.
Possibly.
Who Shot JR? That's the Dallas.
Oh.
That's the show. Throwback. Way right. Throwback.
So how can it be overrated? It's got a show.
It's a good... I like Dallas. And I think I like it because that's where Rob grew up. And so when him and I go, he can show me all the...
There's a connection.
Yeah. Yeah. See some of his old friends while we're there. We have a really good time in Texas. But still, I would say of all the places in Texas I've been, San Antonio. Go to the Alamo.
Alamo. Is that still a thing? I thought that was from back in the... No, like in their textbook?
There.
Oh, it's still there? Okay.
It's still there. Don't forget the Alamo.
Okay.
It's still there. Don't ask them if there's a basement because they don't like you. I don't know if you've ever seen Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
Pee-wee Herman. He died, didn't he?
Yeah, he died. But in the movie, he says he goes to find the basement of the Alamo. It's not as funny of a joke anymore now. They don't like it. They don't like it when you ask them that. But the Riverwalk is amazing. It's like something out of a movie. I felt like I was in a Disney movie when I was down there. Had brisket for the first time there. It was fantastic.
Sounds like Texas should not be on this list at all of overrated places.
Now, I will say Austin is on this list.
And it is overrated?
I did not enjoy Austin.
Isn't Austin the one that's really popping off right
now? Yeah.
Like kind of the Nashville of the South?
It's where a lot of the California people are moving.
Is it Nashville of the South?
The Nashville of Texas.
It's but it's south of the fault line.
Well, a lot of people from California are moving to Austin now because it's kind of the same vibe as California.
The last one on the list, and it's really just funny because of the headline is really what makes it hilarious. Berlin, Germany, the most unfriendly place I have been in my entire life.
And I've been to Paris. That's my favorite thing in this whole thing, yeah.
So if you're traveling for spring break, summertime, maybe you end up somewhere overrated.
Just stay here.
Lake Norman's never overrated.
Never.
I don't think it ever will be. We've got Todd Starnes coming up next on the phone, joining us this morning, talking about his new book. We'll have a big announcement too about Todd. Not next week, maybe the following. Stick around. Good morning, OKN. 8:34 on this Friday, joined now by Todd Starnes, national syndicated radio host, best-selling author, just wrote a book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? We have an exciting announcement we're going to announce in the next couple of weeks related to Todd. We do carry the Todd Starnes Show Monday through Friday.
Great.
Good morning to you, Todd. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. Great to be hanging out with you.
We appreciate the time, sir. Got a new book out, Can America Be Saved? Do you actually answer the question in the book?
No, I just thought I'd throw out the question and get people to buy them. No, I did, yes. You know, it's funny. Michael Knowles wrote a book several years back that kind of put him on the national scene. And it was I think there was one word in the book, you know, there were 300 page blank pages in one word. So I thought, you know, I can't do that. I don't want to copy Michael Knowles. So, I answered the question, America can be saved. And I explained how we can do that.
The new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved by Todd Starnes. You can get the book wherever you find it. I have no doubt. Do you read the audio version yourself, too? That would be pretty cool.
So, you know, you would think that guys in the radio business would have no problem reading a 75,000 word book. But I am telling you, I've never done anything so hard. So this go around, I said, you know, I'm going to pass. As long as we had somebody who could pronounce all the Southern words correctly, I was good for somebody else to do it.
Well, I think we saw a stat that the Southern accent is leaving the next generation somehow. But for Twilight's Last Game, Can America Be Saved? Give us a little bit about the inspiration. You've been in the game a while. You know the national scene. You know the local scene, too. You're a local radio station owner. Give us kind of the buildup to what inspired you to write the book.
Well, as you know, we have a lot of folks calling into the national show, and a lot of them are just downright depressed. They're filled with anxiety. They're really concerned about whether or not we're going to be able to save the republic. So first of all, I wanted to write a book explaining how we can save the republic. Number two, I wanted to reassure everybody that it's possible to save it. And number three, I wanted people to read something and make them laugh. And I think we've accomplished that from the early reviews. The book officially hit bookstores on Tuesday, and people are saying that they can't stop laughing. And I love that because we need that in this country. And the reason why is that America is worth saving. The challenge is, are we ready to save America? And that really is the broader question. Will the people who love freedom, love liberty, will they stand up and will they save the country?
You've been in media a while. You've been obviously in news, politics, and you know this about me, Todd. I'm the new kid on the block, right? I go from being a real estate attorney to all of a sudden owning a radio station. What's your take on the media these days? And I'm not doing this to poke at any particular side. I do believe our particular area here, Lake Norman, north side of Charlotte, is very middle. They you know, fiscally conservative, but willing to hear both sides of the conversation. Am I wrong when, like, I look at my timeline or I see the news headlines? Am I just crazy that there's no logic anymore in any of the discussions happening in the national media?
I don't think so. You know, Memphis is the bluest city in all of Tennessee, and it's radically progressive. So we live, you know, I live in a minority city from a political standpoint, also demographically. We're the largest majority Black city. I'm a white guy, by the way. I don't know if I told you guys that. So anyway, here I am, this lily white conservative, going and buying a news talk radio station. And one of the things I wanted to do was to make sure that our news coverage was fair and balanced. Certainly, our talk shows are coming from a specific political angle, and we're very upfront about that, right? But at the same time, we wanted to make sure that Democrats were treated fairly, and they are. And we actually have more Democrats wanting to come on our local programming than we do Republicans. And the reason why is because we've attracted a large audience because of that concept, local coverage, fair and balanced.
All right, you've got the obviously primaries going on. And I called it before last time we had a chance to connect, and when I had a chance to connect with Ben Dieter, even at that time, hard to see it playing out any other way besides President Trump getting the nomination for the Republican Party. The media wanted to have their headlines, right? There's the polls, blah, blah, blah. Again, you know all that stuff. So sitting where we are now today, do you believe the Republican Party will unite behind President Trump?
I don't know. I really don't. And I hope they do. But there are some in the party, establishment party leaders, the elders, who would rather the Democrats win and Trump be sent home to Mar-a-Lago for the rest of his life. I mean, there are people who truly believe that. So I hope that's not the case, because as I write in the book, we are at an inflection point in American history, and we have to win this election to really push back against the communist infestation of the country. And I explain what I mean by that in the book, because I do believe that we are dealing with communism. That's the broader thing when you put all the puzzle pieces together.
It's kind of wild. I just watched Oppenheimer recently. Did you watch Oppenheimer yet, Todd? Are you a big movie guy?
Yeah, I got through the first 3 minutes and I'm like, okay, I need more popcorn.
That's like Mamie
that's
here, too. That's the same
thing,
that Mamie happened here, too.
It.
All right. Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? Written by Todd Starnes. Just asked you about President Trump, the Republican Party. Let's go to the other side of the aisle. The Democrats, I mean, when you see, you know, other countries making videos, making fun of our president, I can't recall that ever. Now, certainly poking at the bear and, you know, I think of old sketch cartoon, you know, comics written in newspapers. Sure. But to the level we're seeing it now, do you really think the Democrats want President Biden to be the nominee even? Or is it just, hey, we've got to just keep going with this facade because we've gone too deep?
No, I don't think they want old Yeller. But the problem is that they can't do the alternative, which is Kamala Harris. So as bad as Joe Biden is, and we call him old Yeller on the program because he's old and he yells, as bad as Joe Biden is, and as dementia-riddled as he is, Kamala Harris is worse. And for me, that is a fascinating thing. But the Democrats are really stuck right now. Here's what I think could happen. I think when the convention, at the conventions this summer in Chicago, I think there's going to be some sort of an effort to maybe nominate somebody else. And I think at that point, if it is going to be Michelle Obama, we would see it happen at the convention and not beforehand.
Todd Starnes joining us via phone. So you live in Memphis? Is that you still are willing to live there even as, you know, radical as some of the policies are? You just love that place so much?
Well, I was born here. So, you know, this Memphis is home. And look, you know, I was out in California just a couple of weeks ago, twice actually, speaking to groups of conservatives, of Republicans out there. And they told me something that was really encouraging, and it helped me, and it encouraged my spirit, because they say one of the problems is they're tired of conservatives, their fellow conservatives, packing up, getting a U-Haul, and moving out. You know, they want to stay and fight because they believe their state is worth fighting for, and it's a beautiful state, and it is worth fighting for. And the same thing with Memphis. You know, we are actually one of the most philanthropic cities in America. Good people here, beautiful architecture along the Mississippi River. Look, this is my home, and I think it's worth fighting for. So, you know, we're going to give it the old college try.
the way media has shifted over the past couple of years, right? The flashy headlines, the clickbait, all of that stuff alive and well. My Twitter timeline, a new ad that's getting dumped in front of me is the poll to abolish the Electoral College. Mm-hmm. That seems to be a big wave that we're seeing attempted. What are some of the things, maybe the broader policies that people should be aware of or looking at from the campaign side? The headlines that just grip them, right? Like, help us educate people on what should you really do when you see a headline and whether or not determining if something's true or not?
Well, one of the things that we tell our journalism staff is to make sure that you have second and sometimes third sourcing. We always tell our folks to go back to the original source of the material. Because of people, pranksters, you just never know when a story is. I'll give you an example. There was a story about a squatter that kicked a military veteran's wife out of their home. And you're like, oh my gosh, that's terrible. Well, we did a little bit of research and found out it was all made up. It was make-believe. So you just have to be really careful. And that's one of the things we do with our morning newsletter, you know, is that we make sure all of the stories are accurate. And if there is a correction, we always put that correction at the very top of the story as opposed to burying it at the bottom of the story. We want people to know, hey, we made a mistake. Here's the actual information.
Todd Starnes, you can sign up for the Daily Biscuit, the daily newsletter there. Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? Written by Todd Starnes. Book is now available wherever you get your books, wherever you get your audio books. You can buy it today. Todd, thank you so much for the time this morning. Again, major announcement coming in the next couple of weeks related to Todd. You can catch him Monday through Friday, noon to 3 here on WSIC. Hope you have a great weekend, sir.
Well, thanks, and we love WSIC.
Woohoo!
Take care, Todd. Good morning. Okay, at 8:48, happy Friday to you. Thank you again to Todd Starnes. His new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? You can buy the book anywhere you buy books.
That's right.
It's just everywhere. Audiobooks. It's available for you. Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? But sports is really what people want to know about. Joe Berg, WSIC sports director, joining us from Studio A, producer's booth right now. Joe Berg, good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
How you feeling today, man? March Madness tournament. How many points do you have on your bracket? Let me look at that real quick. I haven't looked at your bracket.
Oh, you haven't looked at my bracket yet? I'm pretty impressed with my bracket. I'm not going to lie.
Don't be gloating about your bracket.
I won't gloat. I'm just going to say that my number one Cinderella team did not make it past the first round. And that's kind of where I went wrong. I put way too much faith in McNeese to beat Gonzaga. And I am suffering the consequences of that.
You picked Texas Tech over NC State? Mistake, sir. Mistake.
That was a mistake. Mm-hmm. Yes, that was a mistake as well.
I did pick South Dakota State over Iowa State, though. Just heads up. I did.
Okay.
I did it, try to get, because how do you know, right? Like, who would have thought Oakland beats Kentucky, right? Who guesses on the upsets? No way.
Exactly. Yeah, it's so, so random, this tournament. And when you're doing brackets specifically, if you're trying to have a good bracket, I've been saying it, what you want to do is you want to work backwards. You want to find your champion, then find who they're going to play, get your Final Four set and your Elite Eight, and then you can just fill it in from there. Because as long as you still have teams in the race, missing a game or two isn't going to hurt your bracket all that much. When you lose your champion, when you lose a Final Four team early, that's when you start to fall behind in all your bracket challenges.
Bill here. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
You said McNeese was your Cinderella.
It was.
I'm looking at their schedule from the regular season.
Yeah.
They've played some interesting teams.
They played
a school called Mississippi University for Women.
For women, yeah.
Impressive.
Very impressive. I don't know how they managed to get that on the schedule.
They were able to win the game 92-23.
Yeah, it was the biggest blowout of the year in basketball.
Cross-cultural symbolism or connectivity there, right?
Sure.
Is that what we call that?
Yeah, that's awesome. I just thought that was a very interesting little stat or fact for McNeese State.
One that's got me curious today, Baylor and Colgate. You know, this whole fluoride conversation, that's really going to put Colgate over the top, I assume.
Yeah. I have no comment on that. Honestly, that was bad.
Also, I picked Duquesne to win.
Duquesne.
I picked them to win.
That was a good pick.
Yeah.
That was a good pick. You know, I had a good feeling about them, but for some reason, when I was looking back through my bracket during the game, I was like, oh, I picked BYU. Oops. Yeah, it was a mistake.
So the bracket challenge going on, Merle Madness, the winner of the, and the group's already locked, right? You can't submit a bracket. It's like official. You can't like no longer submit a new bracket, or can you? Can you continue to submit brackets?
You cannot. Everything is locked. If you're in, you're in. And if you missed it this year, I'm sorry. You're going to have to try again next year.
So the winner's going to get a 4-pack of tickets to Merle Fest happening at the end of April. We talk about that quite often. So here we go, Joe. It's locked in, locked and loaded. Are you still confident in your choice for the win all the way through based on Iowa State's performance against South Dakota State?
I am. I'm pretty confident in my picks. What I wouldn't be confident in is if I'm looking at the WSIC tournament right here, I'm third, but the two people in front of me, Zach Volk is number one, Ryan Turner second. Ryan, I'm sorry that happened to you last night. He lost his champion last night.
Kentucky.
So that's going to be a tough way for him to still win this tournament.
So I might have a chance to beat somebody in Ryan Turner because he can't win at least the championship round pick. And I picked UConn. I just followed everyone's trends and went with the number one.
I just
one
did whatever Jeff said. Jeff from MyCat said.
What do you think about that strategy, Joe?
Well, see, the thing is, I'm looking at Mamie's picks right now, and it doesn't seem like she made any.
I don't think mine completed for some reason.
I see Mamie at dead last with dead last. Zero points.
I think I didn't hit some button.
I don't think you hit submit.
I think that's what I forgot.
But you have a bracket here with some selections. It's almost like you're boycotting it, like you were only interested in about 4 or 5 games, I think, on this.
I don't know what happened because I remember finishing it. Something
I told
happened.
You, if you don't do it in the moment, that's what happens
I
with this kind of thing.
I think I got distracted.
All right, so other stuff going on. We've got NASCAR this weekend, I assume. Cup Series race. And Joe, how are we feeling about the race?
They get to turn right this weekend.
Ayo.
Here we go. Green flag. Buggity, buggity, buggity. Yeah. Let's go racing, boys.
Austin, Texas. We're heading to Circuit of the Americas for the first road course of the year.
Overrated? According to the list you just...
the location is Texas. Yeah. But Joe Berg also thinks road courses are overrated.
Yeah, you know... I like Circuit of the Americas. I think it's a very good track. It has personality. There is so much elevation change when you're going through a lap there that you're always kind of trying to figure out what's going on. Where are you? How much G-forces vertically are you putting on the car?
So I'm trying to put all the G-forces on.
It puts it a little bit more difficult there towards the top of the road course racing. But for this race, I do like this track. I just wish we didn't have as many road courses. Someone to keep an eye on, he won the Chicago Street Race, Shane Van Gisbergen. He is racing for, I believe he's racing for colleague racing this race. In the 93 car. So he'll have a chance to back up his other road course win with a new one.
And who you got winning the race? Did you say Chastain you got winning the race? Who you got winning?
I don't have Chastain. I'm going to go a little bit off the board here just because of how good he's been over the past few weeks. Michael McDowell is a road course racer who won a road course race last year. So I would keep my eye on him.
Is it like the Formula One road courses? Well, they're all road courses, but whoever gets out in front to start stays in front?
Yeah, so Formula One actually does go to this track as
well. Yes, all right. I was wondering if it was the exact same track.
Right. So it is a little bit different than Formula One, though, where we have stage breaks. So we have built-in caution flags where the field gets bunched backed up. Right. Formula One doesn't have that, so if you get out to a big lead early and you can cruise, it's kind of boring.
All right, that makes
which
sense.
Which we've seen
with
Max Verstappen dominating the circuit.
That's NASCAR. We've got Charlotte FC going on still, too. We're still in the thick of soccer season. Charlotte FC, they making the playoffs still, Joe?
I still think so. You know your favorite thing to say, it's still early. But tomorrow at 7:30, they take on Columbus.
Ohio.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Mm. Not to be mixed up with Christopher Columbus. But he doesn't play soccer.
Correct. He okay. might have. Correct. I don't know.
Do you think he played soccer? All right, that's that. So what's it looking like for the match tomorrow? How's the new coach doing for Charlotte FC?
He's all right. I mean, it's still, like, you know, it's so early in the year. I don't want to say, oh, man, our coach, they made a mistake, because I don't know that yet. They started the year better than they ever had, not losing in their first two games. They won their first game, and they played to a draw in the second game. So that was the greatest start in Charlotte FC history there. And then they kind of went on a little bit of a low, losing a couple in a row. But, you know,
they're back home.
Turn things around. They are back home tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, that's all they need. Yeah.
They actually got a couple
nighttime
in a row
in the Queen
here.
City.
Yeah, so this weekend they'll be home. Next weekend against Cincinnati they'll be home. And then they'll head over to New England.
Busy weekend in Uptown with the NCAA tournament.
Busy.
Now weekend. Some soccer.
Yeah.
They're everywhere. The people, I mean.
Joe, I did have a chance on my ride home Tuesday from Raleigh. I was listening to your show, and I heard you talk about the first baseball game of the season is already taking
yes.
place. Is it too early to talk about baseball? Because you know it's one of my favorite sports.
It's never too early to talk about baseball.
It's easy to talk about.
So there's a lot of conversation about what took place over the past 2 days.
Shohei Ohtani.
Yes, Shohei Ohtani.
And his manager taking money.
Well.
Or interpreter. The interpreter siphoning off conversion rates. You know, hey, fractionally, it adds up over time.
If that was the story you were looking to talk about, we could talk about that. I was more concerned with the fact that a lot of people are upset that opening day, quote unquote opening day, was shipped overseas this year. Now, we still have traditional opening day later in the month, where every team is going to play on the same day. So it's just a little weird how they did it this year.
That is interesting.
Isn't it America's pastime?
Mm-hmm. It is, but you know, when you have a player as big as Shohei Ohtani in the world market, you want to put him on display.
Is he from Japan?
He is, yes.
It seems weird that America would want to put people from other countries on display. I thought we worked through that in like the 50s and 60s and stuff already. We should have.
We're all from other countries.
Yeah.
Okay. So these aren't hitting the way that, okay. Yeah, go ahead and hit the womp womp.
Womp womp.
Sorry, it's been a strong show up until this. We had a good week.
It's been a great week. It's all falling apart.
Ending on a high, for sure.
This is where, this last segment of the week, Joe, it happened to be where you landed on the one where they let me test out all the different bits I've been thinking about over the week.
Sorry, Joe, you know we tried to hold them back.
Yeah, we did our best.
Real quick, Joe, local scene, what's going on at the high school level with sports right now?
So South Iredell seems to be the best team in the area. Lake Norman is also starting to turn their season around. They started 1-4. They've now won 6 in a row.
What sport is this?
Baseball.
Okay.
Baseball.
Excellent.
The greatest sport in the world, Bill.
He wanted to talk baseball, so
yeah.
We're going to talk
no, I like
baseball.
It. I like it, yeah.
Yeah, so Lake Norman and South Iredell seem to be the two top teams right now in the area.
Cool. All right, baseball, there you go. I wanted to talk about it because if you're looking for an alternative career in life, it could work for you because it works for anybody because it's the easiest sport you'll ever play.
Appreciate you, Joe. Baseball
Joe Berg.
Thank you, Joe.
You're the man. WSIC Sports Director, host of The Scoreboard with Joe Berg. I love you, my kith. Hope you all have a great weekend. Hug your loved ones.
Serving you better than ever before. 105.9 100.7 WSIC, Statesville, Mooresville, North Charlotte.